And he says this interesting point. He says, as the seeker switches from the focus from the outer to the inner, dissatisfaction, disgust, distaste, and a deep fatigue are characteristic very frequently of those who are on the verge of discipleship. For what is a disciple? He is one who seeks to learn a new rhythm, to enter a new field of experience, and to follow the steps of advanced humanity who have trodden the path ahead of him, leading from darkness to light, from the unreal to the real. He has tasted the joys of life in the world of illusion and has learned their powerlessness to satisfy and to hold him. He is now in a state of transition between the new and the old states of being. He is vibrating between the condition of the soul awareness and form awareness. He is seeing double. Okay, so the disciple, he's to successfully take this course, he reaches a point where he's dissatisfied with what the personality world would give him. Even if he could be a famous movie star or politician, that wouldn't be enough to satisfy him. Even if he could be rich and have all the riches of the world, that would not be enough to satisfy him. The true disciple who's ready to become the white magician wants something more, and that more comes from the soul. And so this is the first stage of soul contact, is to realize that the solar angel is collecting himself. He's scattering not his force. He or she is sacrificing himself and paying attention to you, so that you can make some contact and open up the kingdom of God. Join heaven and earth together so that you can take the first real steps toward entering the kingdom of God and the fifth sphere. Okay, any questions before we proceed? That's the basic lesson for the day. Don't all speak at once.
Oh, there you go. So,
if you have any questions on that, we'll elaborate a little bit or whatever.
I didn't have a question. I just thought there was an interesting point he made in the chapter that he was coming at these rules for white magic not from the standpoint of actually practicing white magic, but from the standpoint of training white magicians.
Right. He says that's important. He says the training, he says, don't so much look for outward effects from the magical work, but concentrate more on the inward effects. The inward effects of the magic is the most important things, though there will be outer effects, but the inward effects are important. And this is where the training begins, is in the inward part of ourselves. Okay.
Yeah, I found it was really interesting that it correlates to things that I experience in virtual worlds. I'm a teacher of chivalry and virtue and helping people to create better futures, and so I'm like the master Keiki Knight, and so I can relate to the way he's talking about, you know, with his students and all that, and the things you look for, and it's like, it, you know, only thing is I'm working with mice.
Mice?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, they're about knee high, and they have
oh, yeah?
mouse ears and, you know, tails and all that. But you know, he's my head knight is a mouse.
Oh, okay. Cool.
It's been done.
Okay. Well, I'll end with this quote from DK, which is good. He says, "Intention and effort are considered by us of prime importance and are the two main requisites for all disciples, initiates, and masters, plus the power of persistence." And he puts a lot of emphasis on the tortoise and the hare, and he points out that the tortoise always wins in the end because he's slow, he's persistent, and he doesn't deviate. He just keeps moving ahead, while in the story the hare plays around. He's a lot faster and everything, but he figures there's plenty of time to reach the goal. And so he stresses this a lot in his teachings, that the person that reaches the goal is a person that doesn't give up. He just does a little bit every day. And if you do a little bit every day, it's amazing what you can get done. And the tendency of the beginning disciple is just to plunge in body, soul, and spirit and just do it all in a couple weeks. And then after a few weeks, nothing much seems to have been accomplished, even though he had all kinds of enthusiasm, and then he gives up. Whereas the person that just incorporates a little bit of the teaching into life every day and moves ahead inch by inch, he's the one that's going to reach the goal and establish solid soul contact. The soul is really impressed when he sees you forge ahead no matter what, no matter what distractions happen. Because we have all kinds of distractions. I've had all kinds of distractions the past couple of weeks myself. Anybody here not have any distractions this past couple of weeks? Rick, you look pretty peaceful. You look like you haven't had any distraction.
I had a dream come true. What can I say? It was a good week for me.
So anyway, we all have distractions, so This is an important thing that he stresses, is that no matter what distractions come, we need to learn to focus and be in a point of peace no matter what distractions are outward for us, and be in a point where we're settled on the inner part of our soul so that we can be at peace no matter what's going on. If you have an argument with your spouse, if somebody has an accident, if somebody, if stock market went down or whatever, no matter what happens, if you make sure that you're centered on the inner core of your being where there's peace so that you can move ahead undistracted. Because this is what he says the soul looks for. If the soul is going to interrupt its life on its plane and pay attention to you, you have to live your life in such a way that you're not going to let the outward world take too much of your attention away. You know, you have to make a living and take care of your kids and things like this, but don't let the outward world take away your focus from the inner. So no matter what's going on outwardly, keep your focus there. And this is perhaps the strongest point he makes in connection with this first rule, is not only is the soul not shouldn't scatter its force, but we have to learn to not scatter our forces, our spiritual forces. Okay, let's move on. We'll say the song of eternal life here. A number of people are having health problems in the group, and so we want to stress create our focus here as much as possible to try to help them. Melva was saying her dad is in need, so we want to focus on her. And then there's Lorraine. And then Rick's foot. How's your foot coming along, Rick?
I think I'm just getting used to it, but I'm also quitting tobacco, and that seems to help.
Really?
So, yeah, but I'm not trying to rush anything, you know. It's like I smoke all these years, you know. I've cut down to just a pinch compared to what it was, and I'll live. I'm not worried about it.
Okay. And is Larry Woods with us today? I wonder how he's doing. And Ruth, how are you doing? I see Ruth is with us.
Hi, JJ. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good to see you. Yeah. So how's your health holding up?
I'm really good at the moment. Really good. Yeah. Using a prayer every day, so it's been fantastic.
Well, good for you. Okay. We'll say the Song of Eternal Life first. And visualize Melba's dad, Lorraine, Larry, and visualize all the energy going through all of us so it just goes to where it's needed. Okay, well, first of all, we'll sound the Om. Om. We thank you, Father, Mother, Spirit, for the energy of life that streams from universal source to us, for the life that circulates through each atom and cell, permeating our entire bodies and minds, bringing health and vitality to all our living parts. We bask in this life. We feel the life. We are the life which knows not corruption, the life which makes all things new, the life which always is. We feel the life from our toes to the top of our heads and give thanks for its abundance. We praise and love our bodies and all their parts for receiving this life and spirit and source. We praise body, mind, soul, and spirit for receiving without ceasing. Ah. Aha. Ah. Ooh. 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 Kind of gets you in a upbeat mood, doesn't it? The arm that way, doesn't it? Brought a smile there on Ruth's face, anyway.
Yeah, that puts a smile on my face.
Okay. Let's do the great invocation. Om, 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 om. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Om, 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 om. Okay, we'll do the song of the 144,000. We thank you, Father, that you have revealed to us your protective universal light, that within this light is complete protection from all destructive forces, that the Holy Spirit of your presence permeates us in the light, and wherever we will, the light to descend. Now sound a silent om here between the verses. We'll have a period of silence between each stanza. We thank you, Father, that you fill us with your protective fires of love, that within this love is complete protection from all destructive thoughts and feelings, that the consciousness of Christ is lifted up in us in this love, and wherever we will, the love to be inflamed. We thank you, Father, that you are in us and we are in you, that through us your will is sent forth on wings of power, that your purpose is accomplished on earth as it is in heaven, that through us your light and love and power is manifest to all the sons and daughters of mankind. Visualize all the negativity dispersing and only love and light and power remaining. Om, 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 om. Now we'll do the avatar synthesis. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. Let the one great life manifest its purpose and send forth his avatar. Let this master of purpose come forth and amplify our wills to synthesize them with his own, giving us power to serve. Let the avatar synthesis manifest to the group of which I am a part, that we may prepare the earth for the lords of light and love. Let will and power and purpose manifest the Christ on earth. Om, 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 om. Now we'll have a moment of silence where we try and tune in to our higher self as much as possible. Om. Okay, assignment for next week is to move to lesson two, rule two. It starts on page 73 and goes to page what here? 90. And rule two, I'll just read it to give you an inkling. When the shadow hath responded in meditation deep, the work proceedeth. The lower light is thrown upward. The greater light illuminates the three, and the work of the four proceedeth. Anybody know what that means yet?
I'll take a stab at it if nobody else does.
Okay. Hold that thought, and we'll if you know what it means, you're ahead of the average, and Joshua, we'll hold that thought for next week, and we'll call on you next week to give a rundown of that. Okay, any other comments or questions before we end? How many think they can come to the gathering this year? We've got a handful signed up, for sure. You going to be able to make it, Joshua?
I'm not entirely sure. I haven't received an absolute spiritual verification that I'm supposed to go, but
yeah,
I'm leaning towards it.
Okay. Well, we hope to see as many as possible there. And we... any other comments or questions? Appreciate everybody showing up, and hopefully you are enjoying this course and getting something out of it. So over and out, we will see everybody next week. And next week it'll be 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon.
Thanks, JJ.
Yeah, thanks a lot, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks.